records. They still make records. I think I still got my copy of ABBA.
Spelled backwards.
ABBA.
Everyone, welcome to Sneaky Dragon. My name is David Dedrick.
I'm Ian Boothby.
And today we have a special guest, kind of a multimedia artist has joined us on the show today.
Ugh.
He's a cartoonist.
Ugh.
He's a musician.
Ugh.
He is a ballet dancer.
Oh.
There, you're interested now, aren't you?
Yeah.
He is an actor.
Meh.
He is a karaoke artist. I think we can say that.
No.
Karaoke.
That's not a thing, but go ahead. Okay, keep going.
Rob Dayton's with us.
Yay!
Robert.
Oh, sorry.
I don't
Robert
steal,
Dayton.
I give. I don't
I'm
steal,
sorry.
I give.
I'm sorry.
It seems like anyone who's met me before 1993, and I'm not going to, which is funny because that's when I was born, but, you know, calls me, you know, has called my spirit looking for a womb, Rob, but then I changed it.
Sorry, Robert.
Because okay. Rob time, backwards.
That's how I was introduced to you, and it will always be
Rob
in my head.
Rob backwards
that way.
Is a bore, and this man is not a bore, sir.
I'm going to try not to ramble on. Let's start at the beginning of my life. conception. No, Rob, I don't steal, I give. It's okay. I'm amongst friends here, so everything will be revealed and then used against me later. It's okay.
I am the similar way. If there's someone who knows me from the 90s, they call me Boothby when people used to call each other by their last name, because for some damn reason that was a thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I know, like, when you know me from or who you know me through, if you call me that, and also, it's 2013, let's knock that off.
Yeah.
You're Robert, I'm Ian, and you are Davinsky.
Davinsky, that's right. The Davinsky code.
The great Davinsky.
Yes.
Don't call you Dav for short.
Don't call me Dav.
You don't like being called Dav.
No, but you can call him Ray, you can call him Jay.
You can call me Dad. You can call me Dad.
Well, you know, for a long time, I just thought, are people doing this to piss me off? And then I met a William that I was calling Bill for a bit. And he went, stop calling me Bill. And I went, of course, this is, you know, or David's and Dave's, Michael's and Mike's. It's confusing.
I have a problem that's, this is a real thing, and I'm going to share my problem with you fellas, because I think you might be able to help me. There's a restaurant up the street, it's called Slickety Jim's Chat and Chew. I used to do a show there, a comedy show, and I got to know some of the staff. And there's one woman who works there.
Is this you say used to. So is this a whole story of how the bottom fell out?
Of the comedy market, yes. and her name is a little difficult to pronounce. I know it starts with B and R, and then it goes somewhere a name should not normally go.
Branwyn?
No. So okay. I would sometimes go like, hey, Brian. You know, you did, like do the old triple down, you know, thing.
Happy birthday, dear.
Happy birthday. Okay. So I have since gone back. It's been a series of months. And we're going, hey, nice to see you. Nice to see you. And she started calling me Paul. Now, my name is not at all Paul. No. But she's saying it really directly, like, hey, Paul, what's going on, Paul? Yeah. Hey, Paul. Now, the way I would correct her on that would be I'd be going, oh, my name's Ian. But I think that'll open a whole kettle of fish where I now have to admit that I don't know her name.
Yeah.
So I'm letting her call me Paul. But, like, she's really, like, more than you
but
would
this
normally
is your
say.
This is your in to let her know that you don't. You say, well, it's kind of funny.
I've let it go now for two visits.
You think
there's
I'm
two
Paul?
Visits deep that I am where she's called me directly Paul, like, hey, Paul.
Amazing.
Now I'm, I think, screwed on it, and I've got to be Paul when I go there.
Wait, are you a people pleaser?
Is Paul a people pleaser?
Well, Paul, no, that's a tongue twister. But if Paul, you know, being called Paul, this is, if you, like me, are trying to rid yourself of the shackles of people pleasing. I'm so glad that there's a spit deflector thing while I say those poppin' peas. But I got to admit, the wonderful, it's you feel wonderfully freed. Like, oh, she doesn't know my name either. And you feel this strange liberation.
There was a little of that. For the beginning, there was. And then I missed the window where I could have said something. And now, I am a people pleaser. Damn it. Damn it.
I would join you in that.
So I am now appalled. For the rest of your that's the way it's going to be.
Let's just let it go. Let's let everything go.
Change
except for the ballet career. I hope we touch on that.
Well, you're lucky. We're
right, name to Pot.
We're right across the street from the ballet studio. So, you know, you want to go over there and get on point. It'd be nice if someone was on point
you
on this freaking podcast sometime.
You can go. See, that's a, I mean, it's a dumb joke and no one will get it. Unless
what's that?
You can go. It's a go ballet. But anyway.
It's go ballet. See, everyone, GOH Ballet Academy is across the street. You can go.
Yeah.
It's get kind it?
Of, yeah.
That was the most obscure joke I've ever made. That
homonyms totally are great related, on the radio, yeah.
Totally related to you knowing this exact location.
To enhance your laughter for today's podcast, terrible. We will be explaining each and every joke.
That's right. Dave, you're crazy. Like a fox, you'd have to know that the Fox Pornography Theater is directly across the street from us to enjoy that That's joke right. as well.
I had a little difficulty in the Fox. Oh, sorry, Dave.
I was just going to say that all our jokes should have a good foundation here because to reach Nirvana. So
now, did you have problems?
Which are also across the street.
Did you have problems?
If you are listening in another country, there might be your own version of the Fox or the Foundation across the street from you.
In a way, there's
the
all
Fox of UK.
Now, you had trouble in the porno theater. Was that with your 8.5? Again, 8.5 is the name of a restaurant across the street.
And
it could
and
also
half
be a penis size.
Which, coincidentally, is my penis size.
Which is why he gets to eat free at that restaurant. They measure right. your dick at the door, and if it's exactly 8.5...
It just depends where they measure it from. That's always my confusion.
Well, across the street.
Across the street.
Directly across the street.
Yes. Okay, good.
But please, what was the problem?
Please wear tight pants. That's why I wear tight pants when I go into that restaurant. A little bit of breathing room, more wiggle. Now, what was my problem?
You're yes, at the
you
Fox.
Were saying you were at the Fox and there
oh,
was
with
a
the Fox. Good. That's good. That's narrowing problems down a bit. Although, you know, going into the Fox Porno Theater could be a deeper issue that leads to a really big problem. But, however, I wandered in there because I have a dear friend.
Hobo style. Bindle sack in hand.
Bindle sack in
hand. Looks like there's good eats
I
in
like,
here.
I like how you put that. I just wandered into the porno theater.
Right.
I just aimlessly wandered
well,
in.
Well, they got an open door policy.
I didn't have it.
They've got incredible hobo language on the walls of the men's room. It's amazing. A lot of stuff, a lot of ETAs. Okay. A lot of ETAs and EATs. Now, incredible. Incredible. Too bad there's no photos, though. You're just going strictly on murky scrawled pencil details.
There are some web links.
There are some.
It takes you to a Tumblr page. But anyway, the Wi-Fi in there is terrible.
I think that place exists outside of the internet, which is why it's kind of a gathering place.
Yeah, it's only people who have not yet discovered the internet. If you walk in, it's all people who have had their internet canceled or some reason cannot access the internet.
I just want to see the movie. I can't get this at home.
I can't follow the plot with you talking. Anyway.
I did go on a date there once as well. And I wore a trench coat.
Who are you, taxi driver?
Yeah, I was. Yeah, it was kind of. It was a dream date. It was a contest that she actually won.
Oh, okay.
I didn't know her name for a month. Her real name. She gave me the name Juanita, and she's a wonderful gal. And so part of the dream date was going to the movies, and we went to the Fox, and we sat in the back row, and we, you know, in my and I was there in That's, my. Oh,
cuts
geez.
Down on the spray if you're at the back of the. Theater.
You yeah, would think, certainly. But it doesn't. Okay.
Certainly. And I was
there is standing room behind you.
I was there in my dirty Mac.
There's the handicap stalls right. in the back for the wheelchairs to be picked up
you
into.
You were there.
Well,
your
the concentration was often, we sat at the very back, as I said, and the concentration was often broken. And it was often broken by two men getting up and leaving together. And that's when I realized that it wasn't an establishment for people to watch heterosexual porn. There was something
subtextual.
Subtextual.
You mentioned your Dirty Mac. Now, that was your Fleetwood Mac cover band where you just turned the lyrics dirty.
Yeah. Yes, that's right. That's right. Although I think Tusk needs no help from us.
Ah, well played. I was trying to set it up for one of the two musical experts to tee that off.
Now, I went in there just the other night.
Wandered in again. Sometimes I go on a nighttime of wandering.
Alone. And, you know, I needed no
introduction?
Worries. Oh, no worries. No introduction. I had.
He's the king of Kensington of the pornos.
Are you kidding? I emceed a 3D porn movie there once, so it's okay. But I did. I hosted a 3D
Is
porn
Is that the
movie.
Size of the breasts, or was there glasses involved?
There what were glasses involved.
Very good.
And the size of the breasts.
Yeah, it was a movie. That was a good night. I was on a date that night, too. What a place to take your date. Robert.
It's a shame it's going out of business.
It's like, where can I take my date? Taxi driver. Taking a page from the taxi driver notebook. Thank
you, David. Glad we could go back here. Memories in the corner of the screen.
So I wandered in there alone. this time. Okay. Just me, myself, and I. Wait, that's three. Well, anyways, and I was not worried if anyone would see me or not because I am a longtime resident of Vancouver, but a long time no longer resident, and I've given up caring what people think
Absolutely.
Of me. So I went in there because I wanted to take a photo of the Scott Baio mural that's in the ladies' room.
I did not know this existed.
My friend Kayla, who's the talented Kayla Janice, who has just written a book called House of Psychotic Women, which is part autobiography and part examination of female neuroses in horror and exploitation film. That's just come out on Fab Press, which also puts out the Cinema Sewer books. Now, Kayla, who did a lot of stuff here, had started a thing briefly called Criminal Cinema. This was about 7 years ago here in Vancouver, and they'd play all sorts of great non-porn movies, including Rare Prints of El Topo. And you would be hard-pressed to find a copy of El Topo back then. Now it's
often
easy
you
to
will
find.
Get hard-pressed in that theater if you sit in the wrong seat.
Very hard-pressed.
I saw it at the Van East, El Topo. It opened... The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. I went to see The Good and the Bad, the Ugly, and I saw El Topo.
What a double bill. Well, it's very rare. Very rare to see El Topo, though. Unavailable on DVD until recently. They had problems with Alan Klein, who was the heavy Stones
Abco.
Manager. And there was some Jodorowsky Klein deal. So I love all these little side escapades here. But they would play stuff
That's
like
all
that.
We do here are side escapades. Good. I'm trying not to mention Topo Gigio. I'm trying my best to not derail this by talking about that little mouse.
What are you, Dennis Miller?
I got some right wing ideas.
Isn't it strange though that everyone that Alan Klein managed lost their catalog to Alan Klein? Like it just seems strange.
He was a very good businessman,
wasn't he? Everyone was really happy to get him. Like I mean, the Beatles almost signed with him. He could have owned the Beatles catalog. None of them would have any say in their own catalog.
Now, who was gunning for him? Was it Lennon?
Lennon and Harrison wanted, and Starr probably went along with them.
Yeah,
and it was McCartney who wanted. His father-in-law, Lee Eastman.
Incoming text, guys.
Oh, sorry.
Wanted
his father-in-law, Lee Eastman, to manage or to take over the business management of the group. But the other guys wanted Alan Klein. And I think it was luckily that McCartney, you know, stood against it. And because really, I mean, the Rolling
Otherwise,
Stones.
You would not be able to hear those songs during Nike commercials now.
Well, you can't hear it by them, though.
Oh, okay. Revolution? Didn't say you want a revolution?
They did that, but it was illegal that it was done.
Ah, very good. Yeah. All right. Now, that was Alan Klein on the texting you.
Yeah, Alan Klein just sent me a text. He told me to stop talking about El Topo and to move on to the Scott Baio mural that Kayla had put up in the ladies' room, which the ladies' room was a room that rarely ever got used at the Fox
the
Cinema.
The cleanest room in town. Yeah, really. Like, you can eat off the floor at the ladies' room of the Fox Porno Theater. Can.
Whereas in the men's room, there was a whole different kind of Eden.
A Garden of Eden.
That's the homotextual context? Is that the one that we're talking about?
That's right. Okay. That's right. Which, you know, but the ladies' room, she put up a nice Scott Baio mural, which I imagine is still there because who goes in there? Criminal Cinema only lasted a few months due to equipment that was falling apart. And also the owners and the owners are odd. And I'm getting to that. And also the place, they could not get rid of the scent of, can I say this?
Of man.
Of man. Yeah.
Yes. Man. I'm not sure what I can and cannot say on this podcast. I don't know if this is the whole family gathers around.
You know how we've been talking about a porno theater at the very beginning of it? We're fine. It's explicit. Admittedly, there appears to be young ladies that listen to the show with their families. That seems weird. But good for you doing that. That's great. Like when I say weird, you're fantastic. Thanks for coming to see our live
show. And I think you have amazing eyes and lashes as well.
Oh, that was a different person you're thinking of. But yes, she also listens to the show.
Anyways, and I meant that, and I'm sorry. Another incoming text.
Okay.
Incoming text.
Phone lines
Moving
are open,
on.
Everybody.
Oh, can we get calls on here?
Our topic is the Leafs. Should they change it to Leaves?
Oh, I got into a whole argument about that because I said, go Leaves. What? They don't know how to spell it right? Apparently, it is grammatically correct to call it Leafs. Friend and hockey fan won. I lost. And the only thing I care...
Like the Leafs. He's so lost big.
I lost big. And that's the only thing I care about with hockey and that team is because I see that every time I see their logo or I see someone with those horrible, ill-fitting jerseys looking so dowdy and frumpy. And I go, can I just take a magic marker and cross out that F and put a V-E, but apparently Leafs is correct. Yeah.
There you go.
If you want to look up the etymology of that and where it relates to the insect world, go ahead. Now, getting back.
That's on buggery.com.
That's right.
All insect information all the time. Gives a link as well to the Fox Theater, strangely enough.
Go and root for your favorite team in your favorite city featuring players that are not from your city. So back to the Fox.
All right. Go Chachis.
I wanted to see that mural. I wanted to see that mural. The criminal cinema days were long over, but I knew that the mural remained. And I see the guy, obviously the owner.
You suspected that it remained.
Oh, but he claimed that there was no such mural. I knew that mural was there. And he was being a real hard ass about it. $10. And I went, I just want to just take a look at the mural. And I want to secretly photograph it. That place.
That's weird that he wouldn't let a guy just come in to use the can in the porno theater.
The ladies' room. I just wanted to use the ladies' room.
I just want to go into the women's washroom in a porno theater.
It costs $10 for a man to go into the ladies' room.
That's 1 minute.
That's how it works.
That sounds fair.
That's
to
fair
me.
Enough.
That is very fair price.
That's how the theater works, man.
I just wanted to be there for 1 minute to cheer
that's
up.
All it takes.
To cheer up a friend. To cheer up my friend in Toronto.
Once again. Exactly right. Yeah.
She loves Scott Baio.
Uh-huh.
She wants Charles in charge of her, and I wanted to make her happy.
Yeah.
And that man would not. And I said to him, "You're funny." And he went, "No, I'm, you know, that's how it is. Like, no, this is how it is," kind of thing. And I went, "No, you're really funny. I think you might not think you're funny, but I think you're funny." And he
how's
said,
that going over?
he wrapped up the conversation.
It was Joe Pesci, by the way, behind the counter. So this is where this
all
started.
Do I make you laugh?
He said, you leave now.
And you said, it's leaves.
That's exactly. Actually, what rhymes with leaves?
He pulled out the dictionary. We both will agree to disagree, sir. Then I madly dashed to the washroom.
Let me grab my phone and go to buggery.com.
Yeah, well, they don't like anything being photographed, even across the street. Even if you're trying to photograph across the street, they freak out.
Yeah, now, they think you got the internet. And if these people know about the internet, the whole business goes through the toilet. So get that iPhone out of here, buddy.
Special place. It's a special place. So I said, say please, and he said, thank you. He didn't say please, but he did kind of jump ahead a bit. And so I jumped ahead of the line. There was no queue. The place was barren. I left.
Okay, so you did not get to see the mural.
I did not get to see the
boo
mural.
To and that story. Is, boo.
There is one girl in Toronto right now who's sad.
All right, we got to ask
that
our fans.
Wish did not come true.
That story did not have a happy ending.
That story did not have much of an ending.
Oh, well, the slang term happy ending also related. Anyway, I will tell you later.
Thank you, Vancouver.
Listen, our lady fans out there, if you would, please go to the Fox Theater before it closes. Take a picture of the Scott Baio mural, if you would, and we will send it to Rob.
Well, yeah.
Ert.
Oh, my God. I called you the wrong goddamn fucking name. I'm a dick. I'm sorry.
How many ears are burning in podcast?
Dave-O, I am so sorry.
No problem.
What's the reach of this podcast?
What is the reach?
Wait, like, how many people listen to this?
Because I'm hearing cries for help underneath of our voices. What's the reach?
Are you hearing? Those are just internet ghosts. Is that what you're hearing?
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's the ghosts of all the failed podcasts that have come before us.
But they count as listeners, don't they? I mean, you know, if you got to kind of... Yeah. It's kind of like, you know, it's kind of like the Mormons baptizing the dead. You know, it counts. It counts.
That's absolutely what the internet's like. It's like the Mormons baptizing the dead. Exactly. Once you baptize the dead, they become part of the internet. They get absorbed into the internet. That is what the afterlife is. Well, you'd know about that, Dave. You're a churchgoer.
That's right. That's all what it's about.
What's your church like, anyways? I've been looking for a new church.
There's a Scott Baio mural in the bathroom.
Finally for you.
It's mostly Zapped related from the movie Zapped, but it's the same characters from Charles in Charge, generally the same actors.
But they used a body double.
What's that?
They used a body double.
Oh, for which?
Topless scene.
Well, why? Who was the actress?
One of the Heathers. Heather Locklear.
Danny Thomas.
C. Thomas Howell.
C. Thomas Howell.
They use C. Thomas Howell as the body double, unfortunately, for Heather Locklear.
John Thomas.
A little disappointing. No, I remember that was a big deal, though. It was like you'd have to go to the movies to see breasts. It was like, oh, like you couldn't see that on your internet or whatnot.
Well, if you're 13 years old and Zapped is out, it's got your favorites, Willie Ames, now known as Bible Man.
Oh, is he now?
Oh, yeah. What, oh, Willie, right. Willie Ames, right, does Bible Man now. He does a series of VHS tapes, which is not a, like, not a dead, like, format.
Is that like Dick Smothers' Yo-Yo Man?
No, you think he Yo-Yo
juggles,
Ma.
He juggles Bibles just to a song?
Well, he's a superhero that teaches the Bible in VHS tapes for young awakening Christians.
So you know if it's VHS tapes that he's teaching young earth creationism. As soon as you hear VHS tapes, you're like, oh, okay, that's what he's going
now for. My question about let's go to Bible Man, because that sounds like the nicest thing we've talked about so far. Who would Bible Man fight? Is there like an Antichrist pamphlet fella?
I haven't seen any of the actual tapes. I'd like to see them.
Rats. Let's just take a couple hours and watch it. Yeah, I have seen the costume too.
You know, he sowed all his oats and zapped and was ready to do Bible Man. Kind of like how Kirk Cameron has moved on from his family shows. And, you know, I actually have an ex-girlfriend who's a flight attendant and met Kirk Cameron on a flight and gave her all sorts of Left Behind movie paraphernalia.
Wouldn't it be fantastic if he just fell asleep on the plane and as a joke you all just left and just left clothing next to him? Oh, that'd be so great.
What I love about the clothing that's left behind is it's perfectly, like, it's perfect.
Yes.
Perfect.
Yes.
Perfectly placed, like, unfold. Like, it's this kind of unfolded, looks like a human body might have fit in there. Poof. I love that. Where'd they go?
It would be good, because it would be good on flights if the pilot announced that he was an atheist, just so you felt more comfortable, you know,
being
like,
on the plane.
Just everyone, I just want you to know I'm an atheist, so if anything happens, I will still be here.
That's right. Also, I believe in the science of this plane. If belief does keep things up, I believe in the science of flight, and I know why this is supposed to work, everybody. I know most of you think this shouldn't be possible, and you're just crossing your fingers, but there you go. Now, with the idea of the rapture and you're going up into heaven and you got your body, do old people have to stay old for the rest of their life and then there's babies that never age? Is that how that goes?
I don't know anything about it.
Yeah, it's like vampires.
Oh, that'd be bad if he went up to heaven and it was full of vampires.
Yeah. That'd be rough. Just never age.
Do vampires get to go to heaven?
There's a really angry
Christ
Kirsten Dunst with long hair up there. Like a...
But they don't have a soul, do they? Vampires by...
Oh, you're thinking the Buffy-esque vampire. Oh, okay. They do not have a soul. That is correct. The soul has left the body in the Buffy universe. But like your Dracula, he has a soul, doesn't he? It's all corrupt and bad, but Dracula has a soul.
Is that right?
Well, why would the cross bug him then? What's bugging him? Physically, the cross bugs him?
Well, the cross bugs the vampires on Buffy as well.
Yeah, but then they're demons.
I like in Fearless Vampire Killers when the vampire is Jewish and the guy holds a cross up to him and he's just like, no, it doesn't work for me.
That might have been one of the only jokes in that Fearless Vampire Killers movie, actually, from remembering it. Yes.
It's a beautifully shot movie.
Yeah, beautifully shot. Real Polanski misfire, that one.
Yeah.
Let's all watch that now.
That's where he met Sharon Tate, though. Was doing Fearless Vampire Killers, yeah.
I'm trying to remember the Playboy pictorial.
That was her breakout film. There was a... like a little kind of a film about her being in that movie on the DVD, I guess.
Do you have the DVD?
I do not. I've just seen it.
Do you have the Laserdisc?
I do not have the Laserdisc. I originally saw it on Laserdisc, though.
So what goes on here every week?
I thought, that kind of question.
What goes on
what's
here?
Your damn problem? What's your situation?
Apart from the rapture.
What's the damn point? We talk about the rapture and porno theaters.
By the way, I do have a video of the discussing the rapture.
Oh, of the rapture itself?
Of you discussing the rapture?
I filmed the rapture. Casey, yes. I filmed it live.
Have you?
It was kind of, it happened.
Are you sure this isn't the Langoliers? Are you sure? Very similar plot.
I live very close to the Bible Belt of the Lower Mainland.
How many notches?
Very close.
And just above the fly.
I don't want to say I'm in the belt, but I am near it. And yeah, there's a lot of that kind of talk that in that side of the Lower Mainland, all that kind of millennial rapture ideas. And there's all kinds of different people there who think they know what's going to happen next. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of odd, this sort of, you know, imaginary... There's absolutely, it's all, you know, it's all post-biblical, right?
It doesn't motorized guillotines.
Yeah, it doesn't, it's not mentioned.
What?
It's not
That's
mentioned.
That's Jack T. Chick's vision.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Is that like the robot French Revolution happens like, here?
We got a guillotine on wheels. Vroom! Yeah, and I don't remember reading that in the Book of Revelations.
Yeah, it's just a lot of, it's just really weird. And even the Book of Revelations, which was which is like a weird
Sorry to correct
coded
you guys.
Message.
Is it pluralized or is it just singular? I think it's the Book
it's
of Revelations.
It's a Book of Revelations.
Go all Revelations!
All right. I'm getting corrected a lot on names and shit, and so I wanted to throw my hat in the ring and just go, it's the Book of Revelation, people.
It's still grammatically correct.
If you knew it in the 90s, it was called Book of Revelations when it was all coked up.
It was Books of Revelation.
Ah, damn it. Okay, go ahead. One churchgoer among us knows it all.
I was just
going
to say, no, it's not actually. I was just going to say that it's just curious that that is sort of this model. This becomes this sort of guidebook to this imaginary happening that everyone is all concerned about. This thing that's just completely out of their own heads, and to spend hours, and there's like 15 different churches all from the same. Core have all broken off away from each other because they disagree of what's going to happen exactly when.
Yeah, but it sounds good. Like if you're the type of person who wants to go, I showed you, then that's pretty good. The rapture sounds great because the person who's like down below goes, oh, you got me. Like it's a real wah, wah, wah. Yeah, by the way, those are your beverages there if you want to have some of that.
Hey, listeners, these beverages over here are mine.
So don't you guys go taking any of them. Right. So there's that. And also, who wants to die? No one. It's painful. You don't like that. How would you like to just be taken straight up to heaven? Sounds great. Except you're with your naked relatives. Boo on that. Up there with
your mom. Yeah, because the clothes get left behind. And that's also in my video on the rapture by the Canadian Romantic.
We got to look that up. Oh, you were asking though what we do on the show.
I just told you about my video.
Yeah, that's right. We put up videos.
It's available on YouTube.
I'm not familiar.
Don't know what that is, YouTube.
That's because it's all about you.
Oh, wouldn't that be creepy if it was? You went on YouTube and it was all videos about you. That'd be another thing to do to Kirk Cameron. Let's just do a punk show where we just like prank Kirk Cameron continuously.
And he gave my ex-girlfriend flight attendant some literature. Yes, I told you about that.
Did I tell
you about
that? He was packing it, yeah.
He was packing the lit.
Wow. Yeah. Did she ask him
what... He always packs the lit and fully, freely autographs.
Wow. And did she ask what Leonardo DiCaprio was really like? Because he was on the last season of that show, remember? Of the Growing Pains.
Did you know, though...
He was on one show.
Enough about Leo. He was a puffy guy. Enough about him.
What?
Enough about him.
Back then,
he's just
he was
puffy.
Not.
I don't know. If
I know. And he was so racist in the Django film. It's a shame that Alan Thicke's adopted child would have been like that. Okay, please continue.
But there was a gal who played Kirk Cameron's girlfriend on Growing Pains, and she was a former Playboy playmate. And
okay.
On Growing
Seems
Pains.
A bit too old to be on Growing Pains. Then.
Yeah.
This was in the 80s. Right?
Understood.
Pains. So was she Playboy thingy after Growing Pains?
No, before.
Oh.
So just before. So, she would have been probably about 20, 21.
All right.
Oh, playing younger, as they do.
Yeah. Have you seen Zapped?
I was very disappointed.
I can honestly say no.
Yeah.
It's on LaserDisc. You can now watch it.
I watched it on LaserDisc? Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
By the way, I will be playing the role of sophomore on the upcoming CTV series Canadian High School. So be sure to catch that.
Yeah. Can I carry your books?
Okay, so no.
Well, time to drink and drive. Oh, no, I killed my family. With AIDS. The car was covered in AIDS. I rammed it right into my dad. And then he had sex with the family because it's an incest family. Okay, please continue. It's a dark show.
This is before you jump off the roof on PCP?
Yeah.
Okay.
Spiders are all over me right now. Let me just brush these off and continue.
That's part of the rapture.
Yeah, it's part of the... Well, that's why my clothes are here and I'm not.
Luckily, you brought a tape recorder of the show.
It's weird. Yeah. The pants want to be called recording. Rob. It's very strange.
A tape recording of the show.
Just call me Proxy. No. She was fresh-faced.
I think you meant call you Proxert. But anyway, go on.
She was a fresh-faced Playboy model.
Yeah, she had that girl-next-door quality, so she played Kirk Cameron's character's girlfriend on the show, and he got her fired from the show because she was a playmate, basically. She was a playmate.
Wow, oddly enough, she got hired for that reason. She got fired
for that
reason.
And then he got so angry, and, he's the kind of guy who, if he has a kissing scene, he has to get his wife to do it.
So she has to dress up as the person that is being kissed, put a wig on, that kind of business, and go to town?
Yes.
Wow.
That's weird.
That's good work for his wife, I guess.
I guess so. He could really care less about
lip double.
Who coincidentally plays his love interest in the Left Behind movies.
Right. Wow. In that video where he explains how bananas prove that God exists, she is also the banana in that. She dresses as the banana.
Well, because only God could put
them in. And he unpeels her.
Only God could put them in pajamas.
That's right.
So, it's obvious.
Yeah, because how they got in the pajamas, we'll never know.
We'll never know.
But we know how they got out of the pajamas because the pajamas were neatly unfolded on the bed.
On the bed. And the banana was gone.
You've seen the banana video I'm talking about.
It's in my mouth.
I have not seen the banana video.
Are you familiar generally with what I'm bringing up here? It was him and another fellow. And just went, this is proof that that God exists. Mm-hmm. It's because the banana is so perfect.
Yeah.
You can open it like this and this. Yeah. And clearly God mm-hmm. made a banana for us. And then someone immediately went, that's not what bananas are like. Over time, man has evolved the banana to be edible. If you look at a natural banana, you cannot eat the damn thing. Mm-hmm. So you are dumb, Kirk Cameron. Abu.
Well, I don't know. I really
should have used
the
chicken as an example.
I thought the chart was pretty amazing how the banana eventually grew legs. The banana rose up out of the sea.
Yep. Yes. That's right. The banana split.
So what goes on here anyways before some besides some wacky fun?
I think you're looking at it, Ross.
Who was here last week in the week? Who comes on these things? I'm new. I'm new in town. Hi, I'm new in town.
I'm just hanging at the bus station. I need to make some money. What's going on, guys? Mural in the bathroom.
You want to come in the bathroom and see the Scott Baio mural with me?
Sure.
Wink, wink.
Cost you $10. Just take a minute. That's all it's going to do. Hey, welcome to Vancouver. You
like I asked to cross the street.
You want
to
see my expo?
Well, it was kind of weird.
Kwatchy.
I come to town and I'm seeing all these Vancouver versions of Toronto things, whether it's girls pillow fighting.
Wait, I'm waiting outside. There's people in heavy jackets.
There is a league.
Which is, you know, a Toronto thing. And
no, it started here.
No.
Yeah.
When?
10 years ago. Really?
Well, this got ugly.
I'm going to have to...
He's thoroughly a part of Toronto now, which is, of course, everyone knows the center of Canada.
No, I'm now really curious.
You've been T-boned, buddy. T-boned.
I'm really curious to know, because I know that the Pillow Fight League in Toronto started a long time ago.
You're probably right. I'm just joking.
Right. That was started by Rob Ford, who was the human pillow, and demanded he be used as a pillow.
And then I see this Vancouver version of Rob Ford. No, I haven't seen that yet.
Nope.
But I have seen, but that'll be coming.
You were looking at a beached whale at that time.
Like a Vancouver version of rap battles, which is comedy rapping battles. There's a Vancouver. It's like
Kaz
Van
Razzle puts that together. Yes,
which is the Vancouver version of the Toronto rap battles.
I would maybe you're saying.
Yeah, no, I actually looked. I went, wait, rap battles, but that's the Toronto thing. Then they went, thanks to so and so and so and so.
Very good.
From Toronto created it, so they give them kudos. But it's like, okay, that's weird. There's a Vancouver version of that.
Okay,
and
it's not on television.
And then there's a Vancouver version of TCAF too, the Toronto Comic Art Festival.
That's right. Yeah, we call it VanCAF. That's what we do. Yeah, that's right.
And that all happened on this past weekend. All these West Coast versions
of
Toronto
started this weekend.
Yeah. So what?
Robert's coming to town. Let's Toronto
make him
it
feel
up.
Let's make him feel at home. That's what we
build a
to make
tower
like
as you. High as you can. Yeah. Make it mostly antenna for no damn reason.
So any recent new developments in Vancouver that just starts in Vancouver?
Normally our things are coffee and sushi related in their technology. Did you guys have a big, are you guys unlivable, because of cost of real estate? Have you done that yet? Where you
working
cannot fucking buy a house at all.
Working
no
very
way.
Hard on it.
Hey, how much is this shithole? $3 million. Sounds good. That makes sense to me. Have you gotten rid of the raccoon ghosts yet? No, we have not. Very good then. $2.5 million.
How much does a raccoon ghost's soul weigh? The soul of a ghost?
It's in the book of Revelation.
It's in there.
Which apparently I was reading an article in the New Yorker, because it's a very good magazine.
Oh, that's a way to get pretentious.
Actually, I was skimming. But and I caught a couple words here and there. That the
fungicide.
It was a book review. And the woman, she'd written the books on the Gnostic Gospels. And she had theorized that the book of Revelations was a metaphor for what was going on in first century AD at the time.
Yes, of course. Everyone knows that.
Yeah. Okay, there we go.
Oh, yeah, that's what it was.
By the way, this is what we do on the show. Dave kills conversations.
Well,
like,
it's not that. I just
this
mean,
is,
like,
this is
everyone knows that except the makers of the Left Behind movies.
Yeah, exactly. That's the problem, right?
Dave and certain politicians who want to bring about the end of the world.
It's become this runaway steamroller that is crushing everything in its path, but... You know, when
it's the twilight of Bible things.
When John wrote Revelation, it's written to seven churches. It says right at the very beginning, this is written to you, seven churches. And he names those churches, and he names qualities and good and bad about each of those churches. Then he gives them this prophecy, which is a coded message.
This is good facts, but not everyone knows this at all. But please continue.
Well, no, because we live in this kind of... you know, willful ignorance. Like, people don't want to know about it, so they don't look at it. They just take what everyone, the kind of, you know, people's what's the kind of popular opinion of what Revelation is, what apocalyptic means.
We got an Omen movie to make.
Yeah, like people think of people think of apocalypse as end of the world. That's not what it means.
Hey, give me the crib notes. Give me the crib notes. Got it. I got it. You skimmed it like a New Yorker magazine at Rob's in Rob's bathroom.
Writing in the Old Testament as well, right? The later prophets wrote in an apocalyptic language, like Ezekiel with all the flaming discs and God on this flaming chariot and all that kind of stuff. That's all apocalyptic language that was written as a code to hide it from authorities so the Jews understood it or the Christians understood it.
Because they were still heavily persecuted at the time.
Yeah, this is during Domitian. So the Christians are being killed. They're being sent to the salt mines where you had like a lifespan of a year. Mm-hmm. And that's where John came from, who wrote Revelation.
And this is the John who's not to be confused with the 50 other Johns that are hanging out at the Fox.
Those Johns. Yeah, those are different. And this isn't John of the Gospel. This is a different John who wrote Revelation. And so, so these guys are like going through harsh shit. And so these messages were a sort of heartening and correcting. You know, if you do this, you know, things will happen. You know, but he had to write it in a particular way so that it was only understood by people of that time period who were part of that group.
So you're saying there's secret codes in the Bible?
There are secret codes in the Bible, yes.
Wow. Someone should do a book about that.
And yet, as the editor said, that's different than what Dan Brown was doing, where he took like the Gnostic Gospels, which Robert just mentioned, with like the Gospel of St. Thomas and stuff like that, that are written like two or three centuries after the first, you know, after the 1 AD, like, or after 100 AD, like, you know, the, you know, many, many years, like the Gospels themselves. I mean, if you're going to discount them for, you know, being written 30 years after Christ, then you've really got to discount ones that are written 230 years or more after Christ.
And the book of Revelations was about 30 years after Christ, is what you're saying.
Well, it'd be a bit later than that.
Okay.
It would probably be about 70 years after Christ. It would probably be written around 100, you know, around 100. But the other Gospels all predate 100 AD. There's different theories of, you know, which ones, like when, because there's different theory, like people have to give them different times to fit their theories. But it's usually seen as Mark was the first, and then Luke and Matthew used Mark as a framework to frame their stories. And then John is entirely separate. So,
and he was more of a physician, right?
Luke was a physician.
Luke was the physician.
They think from the language he uses in the gospel that he was a physician. And also that many of the stories he got were from the women, mm-hmm. rather than taking them from the male point of view. His stories more relate to stories from Mary and other women who were part of the
As
the
opposed
group
to the Gnostic
time.
Gospel according to Mary.
Yes, which probably Magdalene. Has no relation to her, because it would have been written many, many.
So what's the cutoff point? I mean, there's the Apocrypha, and then there's why did they leave the Revelations in?
The Apocrypha is not part of the New Testament; it's part of the Old Testament.
Okay.
And what that is in Jewish history, it was decided that there was a time without prophets, that God was no longer speaking to Israel.
They had a bit of a falling out.
They had a falling out. And so there's this time.
I know that.
But people were still writing apocalyptic or prophetic writings. So those prophetic writings were not included in the Talmud, but the Christians included them in as a kind of like a, they put them in what's called the Apocrypha. So, Old Testament, Apocrypha, New Testament, because there were parts of the Apocrypha that related, they felt, prophetically to Christ. And so they didn't want to exclude them entirely. Mm. So you'll have like, the Roman Catholics include it quite heavily it's right in the Bible. It's part of the Protestants kind of take a kind of a middle path where it's, you know, it's not quite real, but it's kind of part of it. So we'll just kind of, you know, so there's different viewpoints on it. But yeah, the Apocrypha is not related to the New Testament. And the New Testament, when it was created, when it was finally, it was about 200 AD or so that they started trying to take all the most used literature of that time that was being used in the Christian churches, they started to take those things. So they had the Gospels, they had the letters of Paul, and they had Revelation. And some of them that people didn't want. Like Revelation took a long time to be included in the Bible.
I'm just curious about what made them decide to include Revelations in the Bible.
There was committees. So there was a lot of fighting and stuff like that. So probably there was political maneuvering and things, you know, so someone's like, listen, I'll tell you what, I'll vote for Paul. I'll vote for this going in if you'll get a vote for, for Revelation. But also, it also depended on, like, but it was basically based on length of use, so how long they existed in the churches. So, you know, a lot of these had, like, long time, you know, usages. So, and
Revelation... So if Revelations was truly, if they were truly prophetic,
yeah,
like many people mistakenly think the book of Revelations is...
Yeah.
They could have seen that a series of movies called Left Behind would eventually get made by wrongly interpreting
the
book of Revelations. And then they'd go, yeah, we got to include it because those are really good movies.
You're mistaking the idea of what prophecy meant then. Because to us now, prophecy means telling the future. At that time, what prophecy meant was telling the present.
Because it is called the prophecy according to... John, am I right? Is that
you thinking of the gospel or are you thinking of the revelation?
Wait, Revelations. Doesn't it say something, the prophecy of St. John the Divine? Is that what it says?
I don't
know. Underneath something like that?
I don't, maybe it depends.
You've stumped the band, right?
But I'm thinking of.
Well, I don't have my pocket Bible on me. Well, I usually keep it right where my heart is.
Because that's where people shoot you. Exactly. And you can go, the Bible saved my life.
I keep it right beside my Gideon. So when you look at the Old Testament prophets, they were not telling what was going to happen like 500 years from now. What they're saying is, if you keep fucking up, this is going to happen. Like, if you keep, you know, being corrupt and the government keeps being corrupt, the Babylonians are just going to roll right over us. Like, this is what's going to happen. And then when it happens, everyone's like, oh, he was right. This is actually really, he's really right. So I guess we should include this in it. But yeah, they're more like pundits than they were prophets.
They were the Fox News of their day.
Like, in our understanding. Yeah, well, not Fox News, but you know what I'm saying, right? Like, so...
You agreed with me for half a second. For half a second, you agreed with me, and it got very interesting.
It would have been, yes, that's because you just don't want to.
Half a second of common ground on today's podcast.
No holy spin zone.
Okay, let's go into this because it's boring.
Okay, let's talk about the movie, The Prophecy, with Christopher Walken.
Yeah,
and
what
the four
about
sequels.
Maury, maybe it's boring to you talking about it because you know all about it, but it's dead sexy to me.
It is interesting. Like, oh, here's something, by the way. Mm-hmm. The reason that we have this podcast has to do with you, Robert.
What?
I'll tell you.
Well, I don't, you know, I don't even know about this podcast. I don't even know
nor
where the
should
name
you.
Comes from.
We're going to roofie you after this, and you will not remember you did it. We will roll you over into the washroom of the of the Fox Theater.
You're going to wake up staring at Scott Baio.
The last recorded words.
Yeah, you'll be staring at his diagnosis murder picture that's up.
Charles, take charge.
Of Dick Van Dyke. Once upon a time, you guys were talking some music somewhere around here, and I thought, boy, you guys are good music talkers, and I thought, guys should have a podcast.
We're actually driving out to my place.
Right.
And Robert and I got talking about something in the car, and then...
I said afterwards, you guys should do a podcast, and you went, that doesn't exist yet. Cut to 5 years later, podcasts exist. Remember my prophecy, David? And you went, that's not what prophecy is, Ian. Prophecy is describing the present. And I went, at the time it was the present. We had that semantic debate. I called you Rob by mistake. He went, it's Robert, Ian. And I said, well, it's the book of Revelation, Dave. And then we had a real big fight, and then he went, let's do a podcast together.
I got a big fight, and I said, I'm leafing.
Right.
There we go.
But
the name of the podcast was Full Circle.
Jerks. Now, and so I thought you guys should do one. And then you went, you left for Toronto to seek fame and fortune. And then
and the amazing
and then
thing
I'm
about
sloppy
that, I mean, that
second
was very
McGee.
Prophetic. It was because, you know, there's that. I love because seeking sometimes, you know, the nice thing about seeking is when you have it, when you finally get it, your life feels empty. So it's wonderful just to keep on seeking.
And then you come back here and go, you guys are ripping us off. What's all this bullshit? You got a Yonge Street now. Fuck you guys. Listen.
Hey, it's bad enough in Toronto. Toronto is trying to be like, we really want to be like, I remember.
Take a drink, everybody. We're remembering the past.
Remembering a past, yeah.
I remember. I was visiting New York City.
And, New York City?
Get the rope. And they did. And but luckily, they were Slipknots. Now,
the band.
Love
the band.
Slip.
Yep,
love that band.
Slip. I said, take off your mask. I can't hear a word you're saying.
Now, say Rob.
Gwar, what is it good for?
Absolutely not.
Nothing.
Now I know Rochester. Who you are. You're ugly. Put the mask back on.
I say to you what I said to Kiss. We liked you better before.
Gene Simmons.
Let's kiss and make up.
Did I tell you I want to start a Kiss tribute band? I do.
Okay.
I want to start a Kiss tribute band.
What's it going to be called?
I got to find four guys
mm-hmm.
who are in their 40s. Hey, could be me. Give me a nice little wig. Kind of ugly guys. They got to be ugly. Oh, got to be a little ugly. Mix a little denim. Mix a little leather. Mix a little colored cotton while you're at it. And the band would be called Unmasked. And it would be the world's only Kiss without makeup tribute band. It would be Heaven's on Fire. There'd be all hell's breaking loose.
All the
lick
80s.
It up, lick won't it up, ya?
Yeah.
Lick it up.
That's so much better than my Kiss idea, which is just have a French Kiss band called French Kiss. And it's all Quebecers. And it's all songs about like separation and the anger at the English language.
Yes. And the anxiety.
Yeah.
We're going to separate all night.
So, no, I was in New York City.
And party Quebecois every day.
good Lord. And I was saying to the fellow, I said, Quebec, you know, Toronto's kind of funny. Toronto's kind of funny. It's wanting to be like New York in the 80s. It's got like north of, there's a pizzeria there called North of Brooklyn. There's a bar called Brooklyn. Young and Dundas Square is like Times Square light with all these flashing signs and billboards. Basically, Toronto wants to be like New York City in the 80s. And my friend in New York turns to me and says, New York wants to be like New York in the 80s.
Hey, everyone, let's just think about that for a second.
Everyone take a drink.
Just take a little...
I think we should start a new drinking game. When there's a moral, take a drink.
Or something amoral. Just take a drink.
Speaking of a drink, I'd like to give you a little drink recipe right
That's
now.
That's a hard tangent, everybody. Here we go.
This is a little drink recipe.
The bus driver just turned real fast and we all slammed into each other. I'm the guy in the wheelchair's lap.
It's a warm lap. It's a wet lap. It's a warm, wet, soft lap. It's a dance. Speaking of dancing, I'd like to talk to you about a drink. This drink is basically a drink I've invented a number of years ago, and I've been wanting to put it in a drink recipe book, except it's the only drink recipe I have, and I don't drink. And this is the drink that got me into trouble. Hence, I don't drink. This is a drink I came up with years ago. It's called Shirley Temple Black, and this is how you make the Shirley Temple Black.
Okay.
You get the Shirley Temple, you put in all that nice sweet grenadine, the nice maraschino cherry, you put in the works, a little fizzy water, you put that all in, and then you add a shitload of dark rum.
Okay.
And there you have the Shirley Temple Black, her married name, Shirley Temple Black, UN Ambassador Ms. Shirley Temple Black.
Married to Conrad Black.
Yeah, that's because she's not a virgin anymore.
Okay.
That's the drink. And if you're like me and go, well, I can't have, you just put your hand over the drink and then the rum just splashes on your hand and away from the drink. And then you get a dog to lick it up.
So
the dog sings Lick It Up in the Kiss tribute band Unmasked. And you're still left with a virgin drink. No problem.
Doggy Kiss I'd go see. Like dogs that just have that markings that look like the band Kiss. There must be some that look. There's a dog that looks like Gene Simmons. Absolutely sure. Yeah. But do you dress a dog to look like the cat? Or do you go with the later, what was it, a fox? What was it? The drummer got replaced.
It should always be original. Kiss should only be the original.
My wife, her dad's not a great guy, and he said that he was supposed to be in the band Kiss once, and Gene Simmons came to dinner, and but then he the story goes in the family that afterwards one of the daughters went, "Daddy, are you going to wear pantyhose?" And he went, "I can't do this." And so that's the story that Dad likes to tell.
His daughter is a reason that he's not.
That's right. Kiss. Basically, you're the reason I'm not a success, honey. So later on, we're at Comic Con.
So he's trying to tell this story to give a nice moral, like I did this for you, but the story's a sham. Okay, later on
we're at Comic-Con. Gene Simmons is walking by, and I say to Pia, you should ask him this. She goes up and asks Gene. He's got two lovely ladies on each arm, both probably making some fine money being on his arm.
Yeah.
And he asks, she asks this question of him, and he goes, oh no, that's total bullshit. Have you got the phone? I'll call your dad and tell him he's a fucking liar. And she did not have her father's phone number because he's a deadbeat dad and he left a long time ago. But she was like, oh, it would have been the perfect time to keep that number in there and just have Gene Simmons call up and like, hey, how's it going? Oh, who's this? It's Gene Simmons. Oh, says the guy who could use a job drumming. What's going on? Oh, I just want to say you're a big liar. What? Okay, bye. That would have been. Oh,
are you sure he wasn't in a Kiss tribute band? Maybe it was a Kiss tribute band. The guy playing Gene Simmons in the Kiss tribute band came over for dinner and said,
"Thanks for the dinner. I really am hungry. I'm in a Kiss tribute band.
Go see me at the
Peony. Do you mind if I lick this up?"
I'm off to the PNE beer garden. Yeah, I mean, it's a
that's where my friend, former friend of the show, David M., saw Kiss open for Savoy Brown at the PNE. Yes. Yes, indeed.
Wow.
That's
And he's now a former friend of the show because of this.
That was Conrad Black's name before he became Conrad. He started Savoy Brown, worked his way down the spectrum to Conrad Black.
One of the things that cracks me up is at the CNE, the PNE, of course, is the Vancouver version of Toronto CNE. I was at the CNE in the beer garden. Of course, they were trying to pour beer over my hand because it was covering the drink and I don't drink. So that got messy. And then they licked it up. The band came on and the Kiss tribute band was called Destroyer. Oh. And of course, me and my friends were laughing our asses off this Kiss tribute band called, look, it's Destroyer. You know, look. Look at this is so funny. Yeah, look at their funny little outfits. Because of course, there's the Vancouver band Destroyer.
Yes,
that's nothing like
Speaking of Destroyer, which brings us to Dan Behar, which brings us to one reason you're in town.
It's one reason. Oh, geez, are we promoting stuff now?
Well, I think you should mention.
It's only been 45 minutes into the pond.
Well, the show's about an hour in line, so yeah,
I think it's a perfect time to get to that because
otherwise I'll be talking about Little Kiss, the actual band of
Midget,
little people.
Miss Kidget. Miss Kidget. Miss Kidget. Oh, wait, that's my great tutu.
It was lovely.
Is she in the band?
I brought you an apple. Sorry, just memories. I love you, Miss Kidget.
They're implanted memories. That's a problem.
Yeah, that's why it's just a pair of legs. God, she had no face, just a pair of legs. And now you've just explored the horrible male mindset.
That's right. Inside the mind of a serial killer, everyone. Thanks for tuning in.
Just legs.
And
just
an apple.
A woman's legs and an apple.
It's telling me I'm a failure. Shut up, Apple. Shut up. Listen, Granny Smith, you're not the boss of me.
These mannequins aren't going to move themselves. Okay, so...
So, anyway, plug Robert's stuff because he's not going to plug it.
Yeah, he's not going to plug it. So, I know you're in town here. You're here for a record release party.
Yes, sir.
You are
They have those in Toronto, but what the hell?
You know,
the exciting thing is the Toronto record release is happening 2 weeks later.
Oh, okay.
That's great.
Okay, so that's
By the way, what's your Pacific Ocean called?
Blue.
Some great lake bullshit. Filthy, filthy lakes.
Well, you know, you don't want to swim in them, but boy, you can look at them wistfully and go, remember when?
So Robert, back in the 90s, the late 90s, recorded an album with some friends, with Dan Behar, who is well known for being in Destroyer and the New Pornographers, and friend Julian Lawrence. You probably know
Julian well as well.
He was the boy in the well.
He was with
in the 90s.
He was in July 4th Toilet with you, right? As well.
Was, I should say. It'll be our 20th anniversary next year. July 4th Toilet.
Wow.
20 years of July 4th Toilet. And for those who don't know what July 4th Toilet is, there is a lot of stuff on Bandcamp and YouTube right now, so you can see our performances and hear our recordings over the years.
So basically,
the mandate was no two shows.
You guys never did the same show twice, right?
Practically never. I think we did once two shows in one day, one for the kids and one for the adults.
Oh, I see.
For when we did Rock Fantasy Live for KTEL's Rock Fantasy Live, where the land where animals are people, essentially, was the concept.
That is a fantastic concept. Explain that a bit more, either of you.
You go for it. I'm not actually too familiar with Rock Fantasy.
This was on our 10th anniversary, so 9 years ago, for July 4th Toilet. There was a KTEL album. Now, KTEL did very few original albums.
Very few, yeah.
There was one called Fun Town by the Drunken Puppeteer. Uncle Bob,
Is that what it says in it? Drunken Puppeteer?
Yes.
By Drunken Puppeteer.
My first girlfriend's mother dated him. He also would yell at kids to get off his lawn, but on TV he did not.
Okay.
On TV he had puppets.
Confused with the drunken marionette man.
On TV his puppets yelled at kids to get off the lawn.
That's right. Yes. And he did a full album, a lot of one takes and a lot of slurring. And no racial though. He was very all inclusive. Now, and then with Rock Fantasy was another, there was also, oh, by the way, there was also another one, which I don't have, Alex Harvey of the Sensational Alex Harvey Band, which is one of the craziest bands ever. Alex Harvey did a full album about searching for the Loch Ness Monster. Okay, so now K-Tel is known.
Is it musical or is it spoken word?
I think there's one little song that's mostly spoken word.
It's just him going, is that it? No. Wait. No. Hold it, I got it. No.
It's just a hoagie. It's just a hoagie peeping up out of the
just
water.
Just the waves.
That's just a Mach Ness monster.
Yeah. So mostly the K-Tel would do these repackagings of old hits of the day, you know.
Goofy Greats would be an example of one of their classic albums.
Classic album, which Julian has just done a comic book on.
Oh, wow.
For the magazine Rocktober out of Chicago. They have an old Rocktober's a great music enthusiast mag that does stuff about everything.
I love Goofy Greats. It was a real formative album for me. And there was,
as for me and as for Julian, yeah.
Strangely enough, there was two versions. There was also a single album version of it. I had the double.
Okay.
But there was a single one that had different songs on it.
And it was full of, for those who aren't in the know, it was full of crazy novelty hits. Splish Splash is a common one, but you also have, "They're Coming to Take Me Away, Ha Ha!" Stuff like that.
They had weird things too, like Dirty Water by the Standells.
Yes.
And 1-2-3 Red Light.
I had Love in My Tummy.
That's right.
We've put the commercials up on our website, by the way.
They had Ohio Express. Mm-hmm.
There were some sequels. There was Goofy Greats, and I forget the other
Cookie
one.
Cookie Country.
Nutty Numbers.
Looney Tunes was another one.
Yeah, Looney Tunes, I think we put
that. So they had the whole series of those. And it's actually that upcoming issue of Rocktober that's out soon, Rocktober. Julian's got stuff, Nardwar has stuff in every issue, and I have an interview with Sweet Daddy Siki, which is a professional wrestler turned who also was a country singer at the time. And he was also a very early black professional wrestler in Toronto, and he was also a heel, but he was like kind of a Gorgeous George type. And so there's a long interview with him in that issue. But anyways,
and K-Tel also repackaged hits for the kids. So you had like these albums with like 20 songs on them, like 10 just piled, squeezed to the rafters, so the audio isn't that great. And then you had like this weird mix of American or British hit songs that were in the top 10, and then Canadian songs. So you have like Lobo or the Five Man Electrical Band doing like Signs or what's that other song that was famous for them?
Oh, Lobo.
Not Lobo. I'm trying to think of Five Man Electrical Band. They had a song like
Rubber Band.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter to me. Okay,
all these songs. Yeah. Basically, they would take lots of vinyl, melt it down, old vinyl, like unsold vinyl, melt it down to make their own vinyl. So it was recycled vinyl. Even the packages. I found this recently from a friend who's an old record guy.
Yeah.
I found the I think they were from beer cases.
Really?
They just recycled that as well. So everything was recycled. Everything was super cheap with K-Tel.
Super cheap, yeah.
And one of the records they put out, one of the only original albums they put out besides this Loch Ness and this Funtown, was something called Rock Fantasy, a concept that takes place in the land where animals are people and the people are the animals. So we all dressed up as animals for our 10th anniversary show, and we each had our little songs, you know, G-Raff is here, stuff like that, or here comes Sir Dandelion, I'm handsome, so Big Ham would play G-Raff, Paul Anthony, he played Sir Dandelion, and all these special guests, and I was Bernie Bird. Come on, everybody, take me by the hand. I'm going to take you to a magic land. So it was all stuff like that. So July 4th, it would probably be 20 next year.
So you did that whole show. You made costumes for it.
Costume sets.
Yeah. And then you did it twice in one day. And
one for the kids, one for the adults.
Into the garbage, all the animal costumes.
Yeah, into the garbage, yeah.
Wow. That's
true. And that was that.
Did you do a show where
we recycled them and K-Tel turned them into vinyl.
Didn't you do a show where you just got drunker and drunker through the whole show? Like the point of the show is that basically that you just performed.
No, it just kind of happened.
Oh,
that one
is that kind
of
happened.
And in fact, it's funny. There's going to be a documentary coming out that these friends of mine are doing about people who no longer drink and what they've gone through. And they're using footage from a show where I pretty much had a complete blackout on stage. And that was a rock and roll themed show where I think every song July 4th Toilet did had the word rock or rock and roll in it.
Okay.
And in fact, it is on YouTube. The whole show is half an hour. And it might be one of the messiest, cathartic, insane viewing experiences you'll ever see.
Yeah.
There is some
half male nudity in that.
Yeah, we blotted a little bit out to get past the YouTube censors.
Yeah. You don't see the whole eight and a half.
Yeah, YouTube. you just don't. YouTube's pretty heavy about that stuff. I have a friend named Tanetta. He's this incredible character who lives in North York in Toronto, but he's become this YouTube celebrity. He's about 63, 64, And he likes to sometimes show his bits when he does his music videos, where he basically films them all in his kitchen, and dresses in these crazy outfits, and sings his songs. And YouTube keeps shutting him down. And he doesn't even do the nudity anymore. He does that all on his secret, on his special Vimeo account. They don't mind. They don't mind full on.
Anything goes on in video.
Yeah.
Vimeo.
As long as I think, as long as it's not like it's password protected, right? So he's.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. Yeah. So I kind of went, but anyway, yeah. So Julian and Dan and I got together. So Julian from July 4th Toilet and myself and Dan Behar, the three of us got together. I wanted to make kind of a downbeat folk album. I had these songs and I was inspired at the time by a lot of weird folk. I think some stuff that you love, like Holy Modal Rounders.
Love
and stuff.
That. Yep.
And I was
Michael Hurley.
Yeah. Michael Hurley and Skip Spence, stuff like that. Stuff that I was listening to. I was going, it would be nice to do kind of an odd folk album, but make it kind of a downer. And so this psychedelic downer folk, kind of folk damage, and do it our own way and make it a bit of a downer. You know, there's a song called Frowny Frown, for example. So we recorded all these songs with Mark from July 4th Toilet, recorded us at his studio. And it did come out briefly on some CDRs with a track missing. But I wanted it to come out on vinyl. I'm really proud of the album. And
How come you want it on vinyl? Is that your preferred format for music listening?
CDs are junk. I like records, but the thing is, here's the thing.
Why do you say CDs are junk?
It's a file carrier.
Okay.
And here's the nice thing. It comes with a download code.
Oh, okay.
So you can download it and burn it onto a CD if you like.
Yeah.
I mean, I have this
If you want junk.
Yeah, if you want junk. I mean, I have tons of CDs, but you know,
I'm a little offended that you think they're junk.
Yeah, well,
it's hard to listen to it's hard to listen to your turntable in your car.
This is what I mean by them being junk. A CD just carries the file.
Yeah.
So as long as you have the file, everything's A-okay.
Yeah.
They're just the carriers for the file. Now we're really getting into some conspiracies about disease. It just carries the file. So
this would be the podcast that should have actually happened in a parallel world, by the way. These two guys talking about this kind of stuff. It's way better than our show, isn't it? You're right. I know. I'm the 75th wheel. I understand that. This is great stuff.
Okay,
you're talking the Bible. You're talking rock and roll. Now we're talking conspiracies. God damn it. I wish that was Robert.
I love records, too.
Like, I love records. Yeah,
okay, please continue.
Because records...
Ian.
Yeah,
Ian,
you melt down old like KTEL albums to make your own.
If you were a teenager with records, I mean, you lived in that record when you listened to it. You know, you put the record on, you sat with the cover in your lap, and you read all the musicians' names, and the more information the better, as far as I was concerned. The lyric sheet, who played on what.
Kevin Howes, aka Cipriano, who does stuff for Light in the Attic and was very responsible for the Jamaica to Toronto series and everything else.
Love their Free Design reissues.
Yeah, see? You know, and he did the Monks liner notes, the Monks reissues, and he's done a ton of stuff. He also was spearheaded this album by Doug Randall. It was a CBC Canada release in the early 70s, and they did a nice reissue of that, of a man going through a midlife crisis, but it's soft pop. Like, so if you like the Free Design, get the Doug Randall. It's wonderful. So, you know, Kevin wrote the liner notes, which is great. So there's these wonderful liner notes on the back, and it's a nice big album. You can see that on the front. I've got this intense sort of watercolor drawing, and there's a little booklet inside of cemetery drawings that Julian's done with all the lyrics.
Oh, nice.
And then you got the little download code. I'm a sucker for the art object. I'm a sucker for putting that record on and hearing its full sound.
Yeah, because there's things that you can do with a record that you could never do with a CD. And, you know, I mean, I know that people did secret tracks and stuff like that with CDs, but the problem with the secret tracks is either you have that 20-minute gap that you have to, like, fast forward through to get to the secret track.
Right.
Or someone has to tell you there's a secret track so that you know to press rewind when you push play, and then you can skip to that secret track that happens before the first song on the
CD.
But
you see, that's what Ham with Canned Ham, and Canned Ham is playing this Saturday at the Electric Owl, and it's our first show in 4 years. This is another aside. I'm here for two reasons. The Points Gray Vinyl release party.
I'm going to be at both things. I'm going to be at the release, and
I'll be there too.
Well, so, I hope so, because it'd be really disappointing if you're... As I said, I think on Facebook, it would be Canned Ham if you're...
Dave will be drunk on Shirley Temple Blacks. He never drinks either, but
he's
like, I don't know.
They just poured the rum into my Shirley Temple. Not a virgin anymore.
I spread my fingers too wide and it made it in. Just like she did.
Just like she did.
By the way, this podcast is three men. Three men talking about Shirley Temple.
So Canham.
So Canham, with Canham, and we're playing at the Electric Owl Saturday night.
Unfortunately, this show's going to drop after you guys play, so that's too bad.
Oh, is it? We'll plug it on our website.
Okay, never mind. Sure. Forget I brought that up. With Canham, you know, we did CDs, and it was just because at that time, which was early mid-2000s, it made sense. It was easier to get done. And I got to tell you, it's a nightmare getting this record pressed for Points Grey. But with Canham, also, we were able to do that kind of bonus track thing, like add these weird extra things, like we got to add answering machine messages for your answering machine.
Yeah.
And that was kind of it. That format made sense for us. Mm-hmm. It was fun. Mm-hmm. Points Grey is like this, you know, dusty, weird thing. It's artifact. It almost needs to be vinyl.
With a record, you could do like what the Beach Boys did with Holland and have a separate 45 with your answering machine messages on it, right? Like that would be really cool, of course, too.
But that was back when it was easier to press records. In fact, I don't know of a single place in Canada that actually presses records. And that's why it's so hard to get things pressed.
Now, let me ask you a question about that with the technology and whatnot and the whatnot. Mm-hmm. Now that we're getting the 3D printers, are records going to come back? Can you like make a record?
Well, records
yourself?
Every six months, some local TV news reporter goes, vinyl's making a comeback. Well, and then they go into a record store and they go, yeah, sales are up.
But now that this is a technology that's going to be here and you'll be able to make objects of whatever size and whatever, it seems records wouldn't be the hardest thing in the world for a 3D printer to make. Am I wrong?
I think you're wrong. I think because they have to be cut, right? They have to be cut. Like you have to have a master that's cut.
I don't know. I've only experimented with guns.
That fire teeth.
I've got a secret bonus round.
That's right. I've got a hierarchy of interests, right? When it comes to fetish, you know, let's put guns before vinyl. So,
but how wonderful it would have been to buy Intervisions or no? The Stevie Wonder one.
Songs in the Key of Life.
They made
it in the double album with an extra single. Considering the fact it's about, they should have said, Stevie, it's half an hour too long.
Yes, but it's still a wonderful, you know, package. You know, had the big booklet inside.
I'm not
going to
tell him that. The guy's blind.
Yeah, that's right.
Let him have the damn extra. You guys get to go out and see. That sounds great, but I can't see the sunset.
It's moments before he did The Secret Life of Plants, and then it was just like...
Well, I do have the 12-inch of I Just Called to Say I Love You. And and on those days when the phone isn't exactly ringing off the hook, that 12-inch...
Because phones do not have hooks anymore.
That's right.
It soothed many a night for Robert.
Yeah.
I would agree, though. CDs.
Those are lonely nights when you're a man with a hook. Something's got to be soothed. Because you try soothing with a hook, it ain't going to happen.
Yeah, you got to go out in the woods, listen for someone, listen to the radio, about you. Just when they're talking about you. And now I got to hang outside the car, wait till the guy leaves, then kill him. Now, what I got to do, this is the tricky bit. I've got to...
Well, when you're in Toronto, you're a long way from Scott Baio murals.
That's right.
That's where it gets
home. Oh, they hate Scott Baio in Toronto. The CN Tower is actually an anti-Scott Baio tribute.
They started the whole hating Scott Baio thing.
Yeah. Oh, that's true. We're just...
No, I mean, I'm not trying to be... I love
a Bono
Vancouver.
Basher?
I love Vancouver. I love the ocean, the mountains, and what else do I love about Vancouver? The ocean, the mountains. I love the ocean, the mountains.
We're moving the mountain into the oceans, I heard. Just to clear the way for some condos, we're actually pushing mountains into the sea, combining all of our high points.
Well, I love the fact that, you know, I can go skiing in the morning and then drive down and go windsurfing in the afternoon.
Or do heroin.
Who has done that?
Or just do some heroin.
I just love that example of living in Vancouver.
Well, heroin's part of the nightlife. That's nightlife. You got morning, afternoon, nightlife.
I can go skiing in the afternoon and then drive down and see a Scott Baio mural in the evening.
Well, wait, how long is this podcast?
About,
we're gonna go soon. We're 15 minutes over.
We're about five minutes from the end.
Okay, good.
All right. I was just gonna say, whenever I see the lot
didn't
of 649 ads,
sorry,
and they're showing what you would do with all that money, it's like, one, you're on the mountains, but you've got a waiter and he's serving you food.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's stupid.
Yeah.
Two, you're in a helicopter, you're hunting each other for sport.
Yeah.
There's a guy in a car and you're trying to track him down.
Yeah.
That's what you do with your money.
That seems really dangerous. And why would you want to die when you just won the lottery?
All of them are just like, you're just crazy and you need an adrenaline rush. And like,
I'm bored.
That's right. The lotto will drive you mad.
It's, you know, it's that case of wanting. Once you got it, then it's just, I gotta die.
That's right.
You want to scratch that itch, but all you have is a hook for a hand.
That's right.
And a 12-inch of I Just Called to Say I Love You.
We won.
That
we won
leads
the lottery.
Into a vocoder solo.
Vocoder solo. That sounds.
We won the lottery. Nothing's taboo now.
Who does he think he is?
Hey, Dad, come over here. I want to fuck you. That's, no, Dad, you don't understand. I won the lottery. He's coming
taboo.
Right over. Rules don't apply, buddy. Is that a puppy? I'm going to wear it like a hat. Come here, buddy. Nothing's taboo. Oh, what's the rapture just happened? Oh, damn it. I picked the wrong time to become a sinner. Perfect life up until that point, unfortunately.
Yes.
Mm.
And then
maybe
Kirk
if
Cameron.
I just leave my clothes unfolded on the bed, they'll think I've gone to heaven anyways.
Oh, fuck. Again, I would love to do the rapture pranks with some people. Just a lot of folded clothes on the floor outside. All right, well, we'll wrap this up.
Let's wrap it up.
All right.
It's like there's a naked rich man. He claims he's already gone to heaven. Look at the clothes on his bed. Nothing's taboo.
One rich guy just buys a jetpack, strips down naked, and shoots into the sky, hoping for the best. That's the Richard Branson thing. He just gets a jetpack on. Fuck it. They're going to think I'm... No one's going to... It's crowded.
Who's
How will they
question?
Know what extra guy shows up?
It's like John Cusack in that 2012 movie, to sneak on the Ark.
Yep.
Wow, I have not clearly been in the theater. Speaking of theater, we are across the street from the Fox, the John Cusack mural in the
Fox?
Men's room.
The Fox rocks.
Always. Dave, wrap it up.
Wrap it up. Okay, I just want to thank Robert Dayton for coming on
the
show.
It's been a pleasure.
Robert, let's name some of your bands. You do your band Wet Dirt?
Yeah, because that's all we've been talking
Hallmark.
About.
We talked a little Ken Ham.
Check out
Robert's
YouTube.
July 4th here's the deal. I've basically put all the July 4th toilet stuff, albums on Bandcamp. I've started putting all the Ken Ham, and that's H-A-double-M, two M's in magic. And you know, lately I've been seeing people have asking about irony. Irony, it's like, oh, you must be funny, so you must be, you're funny, so you must be ironic. Here I am, like, you know, making, you know, lemonade out of my pain in these albums. It's like, oh, you must be ironic. Yeah, you could see me from through a plain pane, plate glass window. No, my hands are dirty here. Oh, God. Jesus.
Who came up and asked you that? Hey, are you ironic? Did someone really do that?
Oh, yeah.
No one did that in the world ever.
It happens all the time. It's ridiculous.
Oh, yeah. People go up to me all the time and say,
it's like, here I am.
Hey, Rob.
Like going,
it's Robert. Yeah, okay.
I'm just like, oh, yeah, I'll just put my guts back in my body and put on a suit, a full body suit, so that I can have a barrier of protection against my emotions.
So that's what you're up to. That's good.
Robert, does humor belong in music? Ian, what are you doing?
I'm trying.
That's the thing. As soon as it's like, it's music and it's funny, there's irony. It's like, no, ah.
It's also like, hey, why are we running so late? I don't know. We're trying to wrap things up. Let me go off on 16 tangents. Name all your bands.
If things are sticking in my craw, I got to bring them up.
What's grinding your gears, Robert? What's your beef? What's your beef, Robert?
Gripe line. I'm in pain. The world owes me.
That was Kirk Cameron on Gripe Line. Not getting royalties from growing pains.
Well, you still got your health. I'm dying. Okay, so
fried Dave's computer.
The levels are peaking.
Oh, they're more than peaking. They're looking around the corner.
Okay. So you're,
hello, Gripe Line. My ears are bleeding from the podcast.
So you're in a Kiss tribute band.
Yes.
Called Points Gray, which is coming out on vinyl. Coming out on vinyl and MP3 download. What? You got so many guns? Yeah, it's coming out on vinyl and MP3 download.
Ironically.
ironically enough. Whoa, records. They still make records? I think I still got my copy of ABBA.
Spelled backwards.
ABBA. So, and then there's the Ken Ham. That's, you know, we're doing things.
How many
again.
M's in that?
Two M's in magic.
Very good.
July 4th
this
toilet.
Is not, it's
that
not
stuff,
called
Ken Ham. I've got a new project in Toronto, and I'm still doing stuff, okay? I got a new project in Toronto. It's called New Horizons with 3 Z's. And it's with classy. That's right.
How many?
3 Z's doesn't it make you fall asleep? No, we put you into a dream state. We make your dreams come to life. We actualize.
There's three Z's in magic.
Yes. Yes. So yeah, there is a, you know, it's just, it makes sense. Okay. It makes sense.
Okay.
It makes sense. And that project's with visual artist and cartoonist Michael Camo.
Nice.
And classy Craig Daniels, who was in the Leather Uppers. So the three of us, and we're, look out for that. We've got songs recorded and soon there'll be something. We're playing shows, our first shows in June. I've got the Canadian Romantic, which is, you know, we could have talked an hour on that. The Canadian Romantic is this character. There's all these videos on YouTube. There's a doll. There's a book that the Pitt Project's put out, an art book. There's a winking photo that you can get.
It's really good.
Out there.
Really good. I've seen the winking photo. It does wink.
It actually winks, and it is on. It's available in various places if you just type in. I think I even have an Etsy store. I'm the only man on Etsy, so you can easily find me. You can easily find me there. Find me on Etsy. I'm the only. Hey, ladies!
Under the name Etsy Wetsy, the urinating craftsman.
That's right. Yes. So if you've gotten bitten by a jellyfish, be sure to log into my Etsy account.
There's a guy just on the beach waiting for people to be stung by jellyfish just with his dick out. It's like, I'm just waiting, case of emergencies.
It's not an official Olympic sport, but we're working on it. And there's a lot going on in my life right now. Life is full. There's probably a million other things as well, but those are the biggies.
Fantastic. Right. Okay.
Ian?
Nothing.
All right.
And also happening in my life is nap time.
Oh, nap time sounds okay. Good.
We can wrap that
how
up.
Many, with... How many P's in that?
Well, let's just say the sheets are rubber.
Robert bought the rights to Napster and has changed it to an all napping Facebook version. You can only log on while sleeping.
Yeah. Don't worry. Rubber sheets will help your... I don't know.
He's done. He's done, everybody.
You know, the problem with rubber sheets is they give you Super Bowls.
Oh, yeah.
He's gone 1 minute too long in the show.
I understand.
He's always the last one to leave a podcast.
Plug our shirts. That we have shirts.
Everybody, we have shirts for sale. Check out the website. There's nothing there right now. Trying to
but
get
by
it together,
the time, man. You got 2 weeks to do
I
it.
I got two weeks
to
do
it. 2 weeks to do
Check
it.
Out the website.
We got beaded, hopped up, girly crop tops.
Yes, we do.
Certainly do. Yeah, we do actually.
Yeah, I know.
And yeah.
I'm wearing one right now.
That's right.
All right, wrap it up before this goes even farther.
Yeah, let's
Dave,
go.
I'm being pulled to heaven
because this is where the
fold
listeners
my
are.
Clothes. David, I'm going to heaven now.
The listeners of this podcast are wondering what are they wearing right now. Nothing, because we're being pulled to heaven.
Why is Hitler up here, Dave? Why is Hitler here?
That's because you're in the crapture. Okay, everybody, we're gonna say goodnight and goodbye.
Puns, Dave.
Gonna end the show with a bad pun, as usual. Goodbye, everybody.
Bye, everybody.
Thank you for listening to Sneaky Dragon. Bye. Thank you, Robert.
Thank you.